regretfully invited to the wedding between my perfect son, the doctor, and some cheap two-bit tramp whose name escapes me right now. The biggest disaster in my family's history will take place at 9 p.m. on Saturday, September 8th, and no doubt end in divorce. Hopefully in time to be still eligible for an annulment, the overwhelmingly disappointing heartbreak of the ceremony will be followed by dinner where nuts will be served because what's her face has an allergy. Mother do the wedding invites when she doesn't like your partner.
This is the Rude Guy checking in from Maui, and this is the show with something to offend everybody.
Hey, this is Jared Ewe of Ewe's Playhouse, also known as ShamelesslyPimpingMyself.com. I'm a huge fan. Dr. Mo in the Danger Zone.
Hello, bitches. This is Dr. Mo. Welcome to the Danger Zone.
We don't get fooled again. Don't get fooled again. No, no.
Hey, welcome to the Danger Zone. Dr. Mo here. Looking good. Saw a couple of things I definitely wanted to catch up with you on. Of course, I've been watching television here and there in hotel rooms, enjoying myself. Here's some things it's a show called The Better Half. It's on Bravo, and the comedian Sherry something. She plays the wife of Jeff Green on the HBO special Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is the Larry David show. Larry David, of course, the man responsible for Seinfeld, loved by white people everywhere, and myself. I do enjoy Seinfeld. It's a great show. I mean, this thing's always funny. Anytime you watch it 10 years later, it's still good. You know, and the Larry David show, pretty good. On this show, basically, it's all about him, Larry David, his wife, Sherry, the crazy things he goes into, and the nervous anxiety that he has about everything, this crazy anger that he has, the Jewish anger of a bald, old Jew. It's extremely funny. I think this is the third season. I think the third season has been a little crazy in that he goes a bit to the extreme with the Larry Davidism. He had like a bunch of nervous tics that he would just get pissed at anything and crazy shit would just happen to him. And he'd have to figure out how to get around that. And made the first and second seasons very, very funny. I think in the third season, he's trying to push it too hard. He's trying to make it too much. It was a little bit of the, you know, there must have been a second spitter from the Seinfeld series. And I think he's just pushing it a bit. But anyway, the woman who plays the wife of his agent in the show, some comedian named Sherry something, she's a show on Bravo television, Bravo TV, and it's called The Better Half. In this show, she pins two couples against each other. One of the partners in each couple must teach the other what they do in like a day. And then in the second day, the partner is supposed to go ahead and do it and be judged by people. So the first of the show, like the first show, I think they've had like three, four, four shows or something. The first show was comedian Artie Fuqua on MySpace. You can find him, myspace.com/Artie Fuqua. Him and his girlfriend, whom he's broken up with since, were the first couple, and they were a black couple, obviously. Artie Fuqua is black. I don't think he's related to Antoine Fuqua or the other guy. The great black filmmakers making all kinds of great movies. Maybe he is, but I know he's been a comedian for quite some time. Him and his hot-ass young model girlfriend, who's like young as hell, so he's like trying to teach her how to be a comic so she could put on a comedy show the next day and be judged. And they talk about it that night, the first night. They're talking, they're working on stuff. And then he goes, you know, it's like, you know, let's go upstairs and have sex. And I'm going, my God. He gets to say that. Let's go upstairs and have sex. I'm going to take you upstairs, you young, hot little model. And I'm going to smack your ass. And I'm going to pound it until you scream with my big mandingo. And then you'll see what's funny. That's right. I'm going to take you upstairs, you young, hot piece of ass. And you're my girlfriend. And how fucking lucky I am to be on TV with you. And I'm going to let everybody know on TV that I'm going to take you upstairs and I'm going to bang that shit out of you. So they were the first couple. Man, she's hot. They broke up since. I can't imagine why. He's a 22-year-old. She's a young thing. Guys love young things. You could tell them a bunch of things. You know, you can sort of mold them. But now with, you know, all the television, you figure out what they're going to do ahead of you. And so it's not as easy to manage a stable of young hot bitches now than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Things were a lot easier back then, you know what I mean? So they were the first couple. Anyway, they lost. I think they won. I don't know, but that was irrelevant because his girlfriend was so hot, I really didn't have a chance to look at anything else. Comes show number 5. Two couples, one VP of a financial institution, his wife is an event planner for Taranata Green in Manhattan. The other couple, the husband is like some event planner, you know, and then the partner, who's a dude, yes, it's a gay couple. He's just some Swedish fish feeder who loves orchids and his pet fish. And he's like, I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, so you've got a gay couple and you got a straight couple, and they're both going to compete in what? In designing a party, a huge party, with the theme of Winter Wonderland. So it was funny because, anyway, the marketing guy, the banking guy, him and his event planning wife from Tavern on the Green, they sit down. She doesn't realize that the first day is all about her teaching him how to do this job. She doesn't realize that. And plus, they're just engaged. They're not married yet. So she holds her tongue a lot. She doesn't say much. As soon as they get married, obviously, we all know that's going to change. She'll tell him what to fucking do in a minute. But right now, she's like, listen, he makes a lot of cash. I want to lock this guy in before I start breaking him down. So she doesn't say anything. She kind of lets him figure it out. And he goes and he does his thing. It's very interesting. And then the two gay guys, the one, the big Swede, the big dumb Swede who's the girlfriend, he's really, his head is in the air. It's like, oh, I would like to feed my fish and I would like them to take a walk together in the water. It's very, you know, very smooth, lots of air. Oh, look, my God, Sex in the City is on television. And his husband, mind you, is like, oh my God, I just don't know what to do. He needs focus. He needs to just look at things and just focus on what's going on. Oh my God. And so anyway, so I'm watching this. I'm going, it's a gay couple, it's a straight couple. They're designing a party. I'm sorry. I don't care whether you're a box picker-upper and a truck loader at UPS. If you're gay, you know how to design a party. And this was like the really unfair thing for them to pit two gays against a straight couple. Which is, you got a woman and a man. You got the epitome of both sexes, both you know, genders on this planet together. The ultimate collaboration, if you will. On one end, and on the other end, you got cheaters. You got two gays. They design in their sleep. I mean, they have designer socks. It's not fair. So, of course, the first gay, the gay husband, and the gay guy, the man, the top, if you will, he's, you know, trying to tell the guy a little bit about stuff, and he's being very gay about it, you know, very, you know how the gays could be very polite and very diplomatic in a lot of ways until you piss them off, and then that, it's worse than a bitch at that point. They go off and bust your shit in half. But this guy's like very, that's a very good idea, Oscar. I love it. It's great. Oh, you're so creative. And so this guy, Oscar, the gay wife, who's a dude, he ends up doing his party, and he ends up doing great things and coming up with great design ideas that are very gay. Bartenders in pink scarves and hats serving pink drinks. All kinds of snow going on, drapes and trees and shit like that. Very, very, I mean, it was, I liked it. I thought it was very nice. And I thought the guy, the other guy, the straight dude, even I know how to not do this, but the straight husband goes and, as part of his party, went to Wonderland theme. He throws fabric, white fabric, on the floor, which is like a lawsuit waiting to happen. He has no idea. He has money, so he doesn't give a shit. And then they bring in dancers, belly dancers, and one of the belly dancers absolutely busts her ass on the fabric on the floor. Very bad idea. Never, ever, ever put fabric on the floor. Even I know this, and I'm no homo. And so his wife and the gay partner, the gay husband, they're both sitting in a booth, and they're watching their spouses put on this party. They're no longer spouses. It's funny, every show that they've done, they bring in people, and they go, you know, you guys have been together for a year. That's great. You guys have been dating for 3 months. That's great. And there's no, like, long-term relationships anymore. I guess all the married people are doing The Amazing Race on CBS because they're not on this show. And there's a whole lot of gay influence there. She met a husband through her husband's gay brother, who was her best friend. She had a gay best friend in New York. She's Jewish. It's not out of the ordinary. It's normal. A lot of gay stuff going on. And then the two gays, they get in it. And I'm like, this is a no-brainer. Ahead of time, I'm going to vote for the two gays because they are going to win it. Why? Because it's not just one gay guy, which could compare to a woman and a half because they do everything extra. It's two gay guys, which really counts as three chicks, right? Three women on one side designing a party versus a woman on one side with a Cro-Magnon husband. A boyfriend or fiancé. It was a no-brainer. The three chicks win it. Give it to the two gays and tell these two to walk away. I got to say, the gay did a pretty good job. But it was one of those things where you go, of course the two gays are going to win. I know this. You know this. Why are we even BSing about this? The two gays won it. Very, you know, very, very nice design and very gay. And I got to say, I like their ideas. But Sherry's doing the show, and it's just boring because she does a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking. They spend a lot of time going into background, private interviews. It's crazy. I only have 30 minutes with these people. I don't want to go nuts. I don't even know if it's an hour. Is it an hour? Maybe it's an hour show. But please, a lot of filler on that show. It's crazy. And I don't even think I'm set to tape every new episode, and it never, like, it tapes it, like, every 10 days or some shit. Something like that. But anyway, that was one of the shows I wanted to tell you about. The other show is American Princess. And now this show is about 12 girls that they brought to England to learn how to be a princess. They're all American, obviously, and so they're going to learn to be a princess. And they're going to be trained by people who are very famous at supporting and assisting princesses. You're talking, there's Princess Diana's butler. He was the main guy. And then there was two other people. One old lady who's Dame somebody. And she's a professional maid or some shit. And then the other guy was just an old British bastard who just knows everything about old British shit. And he was going to judge him on that, right? So you got a butler, the crazy maid, and an old fart. All three of them are going to decide who's the American princess. They're going to train the American princess. And you have Catherine Oxenberg, daughter of the Princess of Yugoslavia. She doesn't even have a title. She's just like Catherine Oxenberg. You're the daughter of the princess. There's no Princess Junior. There's no Baroness. She's just a daughter of that chick. And why are they all British? Why do they all sound British? It's ridiculous. The prince of some Polish... The prince, actually, in the show was... They're all going to, you know, compete for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And then at the end, they would get to meet this guy who was a real prince. So they have a chance at marrying him and getting real property. Like a real title or some real British title. So they go through, and then the prince himself, he's Polish. He's like a Polish, the son of a Polish aristocrat. Aristocrat, which is like somebody who may have some very big connections and may have been born and married into some families that had some sort of status with the rich people. And then you're in that so long that you're just considered to be part of that whole thing. And at the end, you just end up being an aristocrat. One day I'll tell you about that joke, The Aristocrats. It's a very old joke. You can take it anywhere you want. It's going to be nasty. It'll have to be a whole show. 30 minutes, tops. So then this prince is Polish, and he couldn't sound more British. Of course, they all moved to friggin' London when the whole aristocrat, nobility, royalty thing just... Every people said, you know what, screw it. I'm done with the kings, okay? I'm done. I'm voting. I'm on the internet. I'm Googling stuff. I'm Google Earth. I know what it looks like over there. I checked it out. I am aware of our world. This king and queen shit is killing me. I'm not paying for that. So they all moved to England because they're still getting off on that. And they all have this English accent. So anyway, a bunch of chicks are competing. One especially cute one. She's a little Latin chick from the Bronx. Man, she was cute. She competed in pageants. She's really cute and really sexy. She's got a great smile. You know, great hair, great look on her face, great eyes. And man, you just want to make her scream, basically. You just want to tie her down, put a crown on her head, get your royal whip out. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a picture there, man. What a little mamacita she was. Anyway, she was in that, and there was another fat Latin girl. Kind of chunky, chubby. So anyway, the beautiful pageant girl somehow makes it to the top three, and she gets like, oh, right before the ball that they were supposed to attend to get voted on as the American princess. Left over, you got a chubby Latin chick, and then a completely average white girl who has an extremely low sense of self-esteem, is extremely nervous, not so outgoing, and she's white, which is good. So they have the dinner before that final thing, and then they discover, you know, everybody's saying about Cassie, oh, she's very, you know, poised, and of course she's white, she learns that shit at 3 years old. And then you got the fat Latin chick, you know, Boricua, she's like running around the El Campo looking for Pico Gallo. And, margaritas and tortillas and burritos, you know, arroz con pollo. She's over there, her and her fat ass, you know, talking with, you know, at the royal table with a fork waving it in the air. You know, being funny, being cool, though, kind of, and finding those crazy white, quote, noble young men that were to assist in their training, finding those guys boring. Well, I understand. They're kind of boring. And so they find both of them make it to that. And very interestingly enough, they pick the white girl to be the princess. Now, the chick that should have won it, that was the most princess-like and had the most potential, was a young Latin chick from the Bronx that they let go. In third place. The fat cow from Brooklyn had no chance of winning this. I can't see any prince, so-called prince, he's not really a prince, he's like an aristocrat. This, what white-bred European prince would want some sort of Latin, Mexican from South America, Aztec, Maya immigrant for their girlfriend? Who would want that? It was a no-brainer. I knew right away, when they let the cute chick go, I knew that it was going to be about the white girl, because it's not even a choice. You wouldn't even pick that fat gal to be a princess. Are you kidding? Her tits are flowing out of her top. She's wearing some just, she doesn't know how to dress nice. And the white bitch is just, she was born that way. She was bred that way. She doesn't even have to be a princess. She looks like a princess. She's blonde. She's white. She's got green eyes. Blue eyes. She's very white princess-like. And the other Latina, dark hair, chubby face, frizzy hair. Some thick arms. Wide bottom. She's like an ox, that one. I mean, you pick it. Who's going to be the princess? Who's going to be the American princess? Not Maria Alonso Conchita Delgado de la Barea. Not her. It's going to be Ashley Johns. Or Ashley Williams, you know? Ashley Andrews, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I was just watching that and going, what the fuck am I watching this for? What am I getting out of this? What are they telling me? They're not telling me anything. Reality TV, my ass. And then the third item, and this is very interesting. As you know, we're back to the Brits again. Bloody Brits. They're everywhere. You can't turn round without having to deal with a British problem. They're all over, and they really consider themselves the first power. At least the original power, which conquered most of the world, had a wonderful navy. They got South Africa, they got America, they got everything. We got it back, however, but they are everywhere. So, the Commonwealth Games are games that are open to the members of the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth is this group of countries and territories, a common interest, all controlled by Britain. It's Britain and all its friendly countries. We almost made it into that. Every other English-speaking country is part of the Commonwealth, except for the United States of America. We're just America. We're just America. Who's in the Commonwealth? Canada is in the Commonwealth. They're to our north. Australia's in the Commonwealth. South Africa, the birthplace of apartheid, is in the Commonwealth. Nigeria, English-speaking African country, is in the Commonwealth. New Zealand and such, those territories, the former British jail country where they dropped everybody off and said, you're punished. We're going to drop your ass off over here and you're going to have to figure it out. Actually, what they do is they used it to use them to build shit. So they're having these Commonwealth Games, and for the 2012 Commonwealth Games, the competition was now open at this point to the two finalists, which were the town of Abuja, Nigeria, and Nigeria is an African country. They speak English over there. That's their normal language. And the town of Glasgow, Scotland. Glasgow, which is a town in the north of Scotland. And I can't say that Sean Connery is from there, but I tell you what, it's a freaking Scottish town, and I think the guy who's now Gordon Brown, he's the Prime Minister of Great Britain, he's from Glasgow, he's a Scot, and Sean Connery is from Scotland as well. I believe he's not from Glasgow, but it doesn't matter, he's from there. And he understand what I'm saying when I talk like this. Because Glasgow is really a town that's competing for the 2012 Commonwealth Games, as well as Abuja, Nigeria. competing for a place as a host to the 2012 Commonwealth Games. Now, I'm going to take a look at this real quick. You're looking at the Commonwealth Games. Commonwealth is common wealth. It's wealth that's common to a bunch of people. Who has wealth? Usually white people. You connect all the Commonwealth people together, you get mostly white countries, and then there's Nigeria, who's like part of the Commonwealth because they're black and they were colonized at one point. So the final competition, somebody let the blacks get ahead and get to the final place, Abuja, Nigeria. And it's funny because the leader of their committee is some general Abuja Motuba in Tumtumbe on Tumba Babuyo. And he's a general. They send a military guy to take care of things. Africans are still dealing with military shit. It's like either kill or be killed. And the guy's funny. He goes, you know, we're having a friendly battle. It's not real bullets. Let you know what he's thinking about. And so they enter into this competition, and then, you know, they go to this place for the winner to be announced. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to get the Commonwealth Games. I'm going to get a sampling of the majority of the people in the Commonwealth. I think 95% are going to be white. I'm going to sit them down. I'm going to say, okay, we're going to have the Commonwealth Games. We have two potential sites. We have a site where it's Nigeria. It's in Africa. It's hot. It's a poor country. You don't find the amenities that you find in Europe. You know, everything is run by generals. They fight a lot. There's a lot of fighting in that area. There's not great hygiene over there. The whole infrastructure is not there yet. There's a whole lot of black, sweaty people over there. Okay? And there's that. And you could get kidnapped. A lot of British people have gotten kidnapped in Nigeria for ransom, for the expanding oil business, which is driving people nuts and turning them into freaking criminals. Not that they weren't already. So you got that. That's one site. And the other site is, we're thinking about Glasgow. And they have a lot of beers. And it's the home of Sean Connery. And he's a Superman. He was James Bond, shaken, not stirred. You know him. From Love with Love from Russia, Octopussy, Never Say Never Again. You know, all of these great movies that Sean Connery did. So, you have that. You have the African landscape versus Glasgow. Many more people who look like you there. And they all love to drink some good ale, good Scottish ale. And we've got William Wallace, who was immortalized by Mel Gibson in Braveheart. And that's a story. We're all sticking to it, because we're Scottish from Glasgow. And we have lots of beers and young white girls who'll be much more open to having sex with you while you're there than those African young girls who are not going to give it to you. So you've got two places that you're looking at, and you're trying to make a decision between Africa and Glasgow, and you're trying to figure out which would be the best place for you. Well, I just told you, it's not Africa. It's got to be Glasgow, because you're more used to Glasgow. You're not going in a fucking safari. What are you, hunting lions and all that? You're not going for that. You're going to see some games and a nice, comfortable atmosphere. You don't want to walk out of the stadium and find out there's been a fucking riot. Bloody mercenaries trying to kidnap you and make your job pay ransom for you. You know you're not worth that much. That's why you're part of the Commonwealth. You're not like America. She stands on her own. But us, we need to be connected. We need some kind of network. And we call it the Commonwealth. And we're sticking to it, because we're from Glasgow. I think I did like 3 different accents in the previous sentence. I can't really stick to one. I've got to make up something that works and that's sort of together on this. And I call it my Glasgow accent. If you don't like it, oh, kiss my arse. Kiss it. Right? Lick it and do something real bad with it. But I don't care. I don't care. I'm not involved in that. I'm telling you, Glasgow, you want the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow. So, right, they have the fucking vote. And it was amazing. I saw black people and white people competing for a game that's based or open to the residents of a network, which is mostly white. And I'm watching Africans wanting to be part of this. And I'm looking at Africans being let all the way to the top. It was like a shame. It's like letting the black person win on Bachelor or letting them to the fourth stage down. She's never going to get picked. Right? Never going to get picked. And so, there they go. So you got the Scots and you got the people from Abuja and they're both sitting there and the chairman comes out and says, you know, I'm very pleased to announce that the winning nation that will host the 2012 Commonwealth Games will be Glasgow. And the white people lost it. Everybody in that room, and they did a pan out of everybody. And in the distance, you could barely discern an area that just was fixed and wasn't moving. You zoomed in, what it was the Africans from Abuja sitting there going, oh my God, we got robbed. I'm like, and they were so, they were looking at each other like, what the fuck? You see that? You see that shit? They went and gave it to the white people. And you're looking at their faces and you can clearly see, this is on the British Broadcasting Channel Corporation, BBC, World News. You could see their faces like, oh my God, we just got robbed. Can you believe that? They gave it to the white people. And this look at, and they didn't look so surprised. And neither was I. I wasn't surprised. It just didn't make sense to have Commonwealth Games in Nigeria. It's very dangerous there. But they were looking at each other like they had expected this. Oh my God, I can't believe they did this to us again. It was hilarious. And I'm like, y'all don't get mad. And they didn't even fucking applaud, nothing. They just stood there stoically contemplating. Are we going to start a fucking war? I'm kidnapping your mother when she comes over with the Red Cross next year. You are done. Let's see how quick this Commonwealth thing stays. And it's crazy. And I felt so bad. And then so the reporter comes on and goes, you know, well, you know, at least that opens it up for Africa. You know, Abuja competing opens it up for Africa. Maybe another African nation will pick it up. And I think I'm looking at South Africa to pick it up next. It's like a white-controlled country, basically, South Africa. 90% black, 10% white. 10% has the money, 90% is broke. But the country is, quote-unquote, led by the 90%. Whereas, really, the 10% have the money. It's the opposite of here. 10% blacks, no money, though. 90% blacks over there, all the money. And so they're like, maybe South Africa will get it. Well, if South Africa gets it, it's really no triumph for Africa because most of their shit is based on what the white people are doing. So the fact that, you know, they're trying to get Africa to win something and then they're looking at South Africa and the thing that they thought that Abuja was even worth considering, that was not fair. And such is life with all this television shit, which is why you're now exiting the danger zone. This is Dr. Mo. Good night, bitches.